everybody. It's Philip.
And this is Bill Kennedy.
It's February 18th, Thursday. We got a couple things we're going to talk about, but there's a couple issues with people that are saying things about the show.
We have critics, and that's sad.
Yeah, I've got some emails, and hey, we're just two guys. One guy has one opinion, one guy has another opinion. Two guys that got together on some of the opinions. We're working on the rest of it, and
we don't expect you people to agree with us and everything, and if you think there's a problem with Phil and I not always agreeing, that's the way we are in real life. I think any two people are. I want to hear what he has to say. He wants to hear what I have to say. That way we can expand our own education. We want people to call in because we want them to say, if your point, you can make your point. And I think it's better than my point. Maybe I'll change. That's what we're all about. But for people, they don't think he and I are attacking each other. We're not. We just don't agree, as most normal people don't. We ride together for, I don't know, how many years, is it?
20.
You can't ride along with somebody who disagrees on something. Chill out, folks. We're not mad at each other.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
yet.
Yet, yeah.
So, let's talk about what we do on the weekend. Nice ride in San Diego?
Yeah, we went for a nice ride in San Diego. We got greeted. We got talked to. Red lights, cameras, full shot.
Some of those guys on the motorcycles were being stopped by those illegal whips again.
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought that was about died away. I thought, but no, they're still jacking them pretty heavy on that.
Hey, you guys got 20s.
Well, yeah. Some of the other guys got stopped. In this case, I gotta blame them for being stopped. When they were stopped, they didn't have their registration up to date.
No paperwork, no nothing. The excuse was, I forgot it.
You're going to a high-profile party.
Exactly.
You know you're going to get stopped. Come on, when you're with the bad boys, you're going to get stopped. Have your stuff together. They don't take an act of Congress. They don't take a genius. Have your stuff together. You pull over. They ask you what. You give it to them. Am I done? Am I on my way? End the conversation. The police aren't your friends. You don't need to make a new friend.
No.
And if you're a club member, they're going to ask you questions about your club.
Absolutely.
It's none of their business.
Absolutely.
You gotta have your stuff in order.
It's just like when a friend of ours is a prospect for one of the clubs, when he came with the other two and they told him to go park, they didn't want to talk.
Embarrassing.
That was embarrassing. Yeah. They told him to go away, they didn't want to talk to him, they wanted the other two guys.
And if he's listening tonight, we're gonna say his name. Oh, no, I guess we shouldn't say his name. But what club he's with? He's with the I know you're sweating on that one, big guy.
Yeah. But
better go stay on the corner.
Yeah, and then they got guys at the airport too, Bill.
Yeah,
they got them from everywhere.
But just stand again. If you're gonna be high profile, you're gonna put a patch on your back, and you remember the hardcore club. All people have to have all your affairs in order. When you get pulled over, you gotta stand. You gotta have everything. Boom, 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 boom. You make this phone call. You make this stop. I'm sorry. Short to the point. You need to get out of there. Don't share information with people. But if you get stopped and your paperwork's not together, well, you got to take some of the blame yourself. That's how it feels.
Absolutely, and even some of the forefathers were kind of upset about that one. One guy even, I can't say his name, but one guy even said it happened to be a son that got jacked.
Mm-hmm.
And he chewed his ass. Mm-hmm. They told him before he left the house to make sure everything was okay.
I did talk to a couple of club putting the party on. Some other guys say, Bill, we appreciate you reminding us over and over how to act with the police, because sometimes they get a little out of hand, and sometimes we forget before the shop or the house and have all affairs together. You're a member of a group, and one of you's got bad work, you're going to be jacked up for 45 minutes, 2 hours, 3 hours. You've got to think. Just to take a moment and think, boys and girls. They have their job, we have our job. Screwdriver and I slide in a little easier because we're not patch holders. Friends of different clubs around the area, so we travel around a lot of different clubs. But if you're a patch holder or not a patch holder, driver's license, insurance, and registration, have it quick to release. Have it right there so you say, bam, there you are. Don't say yes, sir, or no, sir. You know, that's one of my pet peeves. I hate it when people do that. Same thing. I hate it when people say, what the F you want and all that. There's no reason to make this stop adversarial.
No.
Give them their ID, the ID information they want. sign a ticket if they're going to give you a ticket. Am I free to go? Leave situation.
Exactly.
Leave situation.
Well, especially in that situation, Bill, because they jacked up everybody coming.
You and I are a little more high profile because we are going into these large, well-established events, and we know before we get there, we got to go through the gauntlet.
Right.
And if they don't catch you going in, they'll catch you going out. In some cases, they get us both in and out. Just, you and I could stop riding, but we're not going to do it.
No, we're not.
So what we got to do is, I encourage people, don't pay attention to me if you have a better way of doing business. But if you don't, you think what I'm saying makes sense, cab your stuff together. If your registration is expired, why don't you just go in a friend's car to the bar? If you had a few drinks at the bar, you were too lit up, that'll make it worse on yourself. Go to the party and have fun. Leave your bike at home. If your license is expired, you just haven't got around to getting it. Why would you go to a party? Come on, guys, you common sense. The idea of a party is to have a good time, not to, as you and I know, have red lights. However, though, it was nice having the helicopters overhead because it was kind of dark there, and they were like helping us on the sidewalk with the lights on. It. That was nice of them, you know.
That and the dance floor.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then you want to talk about today?
Yeah, well, you go ahead if you want. Jump in there.
Yeah, today I got off of work and I stopped by the shop and they have a few visitors from Germany. And passed on the word that from London to those guys. I took them down and I showed them where they could get a room and I showed them where they could go eat. I showed them where they could go to the beach and watch the sun go down. I went out to breakfast. They were pretty excited.
You know, it's good hospitality. I mean, there isn't a chapter in this particular area that's some close by, but since they didn't have anything, it's good to know they had some friends.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm over in Europe, I'm quite often really not sure where I am. It's good to know somebody pulls it over, you know, buses los or, whatever country. I tell them where I'm going, they'll go, oh, no, man, listen, you can't make it tonight. Why don't you come to my house, spend night in my house and all that. With Europe's hospitality, we try to make the same offer Europeans coming over.
That's true, Bill. I just asked guest 4310 if you could tell us where you're located for our site maps and keeping track. We've had London, Australia, Mexico, Europe, and Canada so far, Bill. Well, we're getting out there. It's pretty cool.
Well, for two guys that are two amateurs in a small program, I would talk about bikers' rights and all that. We appreciate people checking and listening. And, of course, more important, we appreciate when people call us in share with us what's going on.
That's true. I mean, like right now we have, I can tell we're in North Carolina. I can tell we're in New York, so, guess 4310, I'm not sure where he's at or she is, but we're expecting a call from across the pond, too, and then there's another gentleman going to call us as part of the show tonight. It's going to be about this program about the noise off and all the motorcycles and the myths of loud pipes, the executive summary, introduction, cycle noise. We're going to get this is a gentleman who's dealing with these people. So we'll see what the struggle's about. He's,
Philip, that's our new friend to be, John Simon.
Yeah.
And he was referred to us by Karen from New York, wasn't he?
That's correct.
You know, Karen, if you're out there, and as always, we appreciate your input. We appreciate you being a regular contributor to our show. We think you're one of the founding building blocks to our program, actually. Karen kind of keeps us kind of stabilized when we get off track. Because I'll get off track in a heartbeat. That's where my lifestyle is. So it looks like Karen's doing good. This guy John's going to talk some good stuff. In fact, he should be coming around. Tell me coming as well.
About
10 minutes. 10 minutes. Okay, then. You know, aside our European guests and visitors, we encourage anybody that's listening through Southern California, stopping into Northern San Diego, let us know what you're doing. Come in, visit us. Let's have a cup of coffee. Let's take you to, what do the guys want today? Where's the nearest strip bar?
Yeah,
well, you know, that's okay. We have the address for these things right now.
Yeah, that's true, Bill.
I've always felt that I don't have to go to a strip club But I need to know there's one near enough. And same thing with the ocean. I don't need to go surfing. I don't need to go body surfing anymore, but screwdriver, I just need to know it's there so I can drive by and appreciate
that's
it.
True.
Sometimes when you and I are blasting back from L.A., as you come into our room, the very first business you come to is a strip club.
Right.
So, and, you know, the club is offers us free coffee and blah, blah, blah. Gives a chance to warm up and all that. So we try to reciprocate by letting other people say, hey, this is our little strip club here. Maybe not the best in the world, but, you know, a free cup of coffee is a free cup of coffee.
That's right.
When you come off the freeway, it's cold.
They were really excited because they only had to walk about 30 feet to get to the
plane. Because of your generosity, you got them a hotel very close by. And they got a view of the ocean. And they got a view of the harbor. And these guys over here, they kept saying about 3 meters of snow or something. I don't know what he said exactly, guys, but they hate it over there. But they're, you know, they love their own country, and that's the way it is,
that's
but they
true.
Love to come to visit.
That's true. And it was kind of... Wow.
Yeah, we are. You know, I kind of appreciate this time. The Bodhi from Germany said, please take us to Palm Springs. I don't know what is with those German people. Take me to Palm Springs. You know, I think the veins, the blood, I don't think it's melted yet.
No.
They probably still got some ice. They want to go, can I go to Palm Springs so I can thaw out? But these guys said, no, the weather's so perfect out here that I want to go anywhere else. Stick with us in North County.
That's true.
That's kind of nice.
That's true, Bill.
And give us a little weather report. How bad's the weather today?
Oh, it's actually I'm working on my tan on the flight back here, but it was 80 where I was.
But I've got my light blue light jacket. That's all I wore today.
Well, I was from the water to the top of the deck, about 130 feet. But we were up, at least hotter. We were up in the air.
Did you swim?
Yeah, I could swim.
Oh, I didn't know. Yeah. You fall in, I don't know.
No, there's
no, I'm 30 miles away. It's not going to call me and come rescue you.
No. In fact, the other day, somebody said,
if you win the big cheeses, if you fall in, do you have somebody designated to jump in after you?
No, I'll throw something for you.
An anvil?
An anvil or a life preserver, one or the other. Depends on who saw you go in, you know.
Well, you had some down there recently, so that's kind of a rough call. I don't know if I want to tell these guys you're getting laid off, and then you fall in, they go,
Yeah, putting...
SDS will be to lay me off, so that's
good. Yeah, well, there's 20 going tomorrow, and I'm going this week, I understand, though.
What's the thing coming of you inviting me, and I appreciate you inviting me, but I said I wouldn't go because it's 7 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, it's 7 o'clock in the morning with the high tide. Well,
what's going to happen?
Well, I'm watching a cargo support ship for the Navy, and 952 feet long. Bottom of the keel to the top, it's about 170 feet. Pretty good to see it, if you've never seen it. It slides back in the water.
Marching bands, do you want to have?
We're going to have the Navy band that will be on the TV. And, we're going to have guest speakers. These are named after somebody posthumously. Yeah. The last one was named after a Navy diver. And then the one after that was Wally Schirra.
I don't think
he's an astronaut.
Oh, the astronaut, okay.
Yeah, and then the one after that was the Amelia Earhart.
Okay.
And then this one, I forgot what this one's going to be.
So what do you think, she captured by the Japanese, you think she crashed?
I don't know. Nobody knows. It's a mystery. Mm-hmm. Even the movie, same thing.
Well, we know she's traveling around the world. She's probably doing both, trying to set a world record and just kind of see how much the Japanese was. So that's not great.
Yeah.
So, interesting enough, they always talk about her, but you know she had somebody in the plane with her.
Right.
And they never mentioned that guy's name at all. That's kind of strange. It's kind of low, right?
Yeah. And I guess she had a sweetheart, too, but he was the one helping her out with everything, I guess.
But that's not the dude she took. She took this other guy with her. You know, hey, that's her business.
Yeah, exactly.
That's her business.
Exactly so.
Or we had some boyfriend 40 years old or something like that. Some young guy 20 years old. You know, that's her business. We shouldn't be judgmental. See, you got to stop being judgmental.
Yeah.
That's the way.
I mean, we're all judgmental to a point. But, it's like things are different and, you know, we're doing things and getting out to see people, and summer's coming, so there's going to be a lot more parties, a lot more rides.
Again, we invite everybody that's coming in from out of state or something like that. Let us know coming in there. We'd be glad to sit down and cup of coffee with you.
Throw you around.
You know, show what our faces look like.
Yeah. In fact, I told those guys if they wanted to have a really good time, they should have been here Tuesday. They could have went down to Fat Tuesday.
It's another good example, too, of why people think we're so different. See, Screwdriver watching the ship at 7 o'clock in the morning is very normal to him. There's not a chance in the world, unless they're going to launch the ship at 7 o'clock at night, I can't do it. We are totally polarized in our attitude and lifestyle and our thinking, but we're true friends.
Right.
We agree to disagree.
That's true. Yeah, John is on the line, Bill. I'm going to bring him in right now. Hello, John.
Hello.
John, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear.
Good.
How we sound? Everything okay?
It sounds good.
Perfect. John, would you tell us a little bit about who you are, where you're from, what you've done, how you got involved in this? And I do know you have good reference because Karen from New York gave us the okay. But for all of our listeners out there, tell us a little bit about what you're doing today, please.
Okay. I've been riding for over 20 years and been involved in basically the motorcycle club scene on and off. But what happened was December 2008, we were hit. We were blindsided by a bill that was going to be passed in New York City, similar to what happened in Denver with the EPA labeling matchup system. And that bill was going to be passed almost immediately in December. And we all rallied together at the last minute and said, this isn't right. What is this all about? We have to do something about it. So we immediately went down to City Hall. Yes?
Can we start for a second, please?
Excuse me, John. Who's we? Can you define we for us, please?
Oh, sure.
Which organizations, you and your mama, who is it, please?
Oh, okay. I made some calls around to some of the people in different clubs, and I alerted them to what was happening. A small article came out in the Daily News about this, and this really happened so fast. It came out on something like the 15th, and it was going to be passed on the 18th. I mean, something along those lines. So we scrambled. I made phone calls to people. I said we have to get down to City Hall. We have to do something about this. And there was a group at the time in existence that I found on the internet, CCMS, and Concerned Citizens for Motorcycle Safety. I contacted them, and they had already had something in the works about this. So between them and quite a few people that I could rally around from different clubs, we all got together on this. And by the end of December, we had this bill on hold. It was taken off the table and was going to be rewritten, because we came up with some information about this label matchup system that wasn't quite kosher. It wasn't going to hold up to scrutiny, and I'll get into that. But
John, can I start for a second? I apologize for interrupting you, but you're saying you and some folks got together, and how did you approach the legislators? How did you approach the city council? Because the people around the different states, they're having different problems, and they need to know how you dealt with this. Can you elaborate on that a little bit, please?
The CCMS group had on their side a councilman, Leroy Comrie, and he'd already met with them. And this was actually stuff that the sport bike community had been aware of before the sort of cruiser community had gotten wind of it. And so they had some of the groundwork already done. So we met with Comrie, and he explained to us that the first thing we have to do is be visible. So we went to the steps of City Hall and had a little rally there. Then the next thing he said we had to do was start meeting with council people. So we started meeting with council people to introduce ourselves, and we were initially under CCMS. And then what happened was that motorcycle show was coming up shortly after that in January, the big motorcycle show that comes to New York City. So we had a booth at the show, and we started passing out information to people to get them aware of this this Bill 416, which was actually going to be this parking bill that was going to go after the labeling system on motorcycles. So we
that's the labeling on the exhaust, correct?
Correct. And so we started.
Is that the one where they were going to have a sticker on the frame to match the one on the muffler?
Yeah. Well, what happened with this whole exhaust sticker thing? There were some people that found out about this the Code of Federal Regulations CFR that was written in 1982 by the EPA. There was a division of EPA set up by the government to write regulations on noise. So they wrote this legislation up that said motorcycles after 1982 had to be checked out and certified that they meet the 80 dB level, federal level, and a label had to be affixed on the exhaust system and also a matching label with corresponding numbers on the frame of the bike. And this was a regulation set up by the federal government in 1982 that all manufacturers had to meet. Well, there was no penalty clause in that. So because of that, over time, manufacturers just didn't put these labels on bikes. And we found that out. We found that out by going around and looking at brand new bikes at dealerships and everything. And we did a PowerPoint presentation of it. And so what we found out is that because there was no penalty clause in that regulation, manufacturers weren't spending the money getting new bikes certified and putting all these labels on. And if they were putting them on, they weren't putting them on properly. In other words, they were embossing them on the pipe. They weren't on offsetting color in block letters, and they weren't readily visible. That was the key, readily visible. We found them under saddlebags, under heat shields, turned around underneath if they were on bikes at all. So this 416 bill that we would have had in New York City would have given us tickets, even if we did have the label on those pipes, because they weren't readily visible. And the people hired to go around and write tickets wouldn't have seen the labels. So we presented all this to the council people. There were about 16 or 18 people signed on to this Bill 416 that was still floating around in 2009. Well, one by one, they took their name off the bill after we showed them the PowerPoint presentation, explained to them that manufacturers are the ones that are responsible, not the end consumer, and they're not putting them on the bikes. And
right.
So we kept on that.
Wasn't that when they do it, that it's just for emissions?
Well, there's one for emissions, but there's also one for sound, which was the CRF from 1982. There's CFR, Code of Federal Regulations, that was written by the EPA. And that's the label they're looking for. Now, around the country, there's three highly visible groups, Noise Free America, Noise Off, which is in New York City, and MECOM, which is in Maine. And these .org operations are trumping up this label matchup system to try and regulate motorcycles. And I really feel like it goes beyond just the idea of the noise issue. I mean, they really are trying to regulate a motorcycle travel, traffic through their neighborhoods, things like that.
Bill and I were just reading one a little while ago about Kenny Bunkport, Maine.
Kenny Bunkport's a big hot spot up there. And the Maine,
right.
Now, if you know, this bill they tried to pass in New Hampshire was turned down. They tried to get the label matchup system there, and that was just voted down. But Maine is still trying hard, and it's under that MECOM site with Andy Ford out in Maine, who's really trying to drum up people to...
Right, it all started over some lady built a patio a few years ago, and her husband can't use the patio because they say it's too much noise with us noise.
So now in New York we have this Noise Off fellow, Richard Turr, and I saw an article where he was going to be at a symposium at Fordham University last week or a couple weeks ago. So I decided to go and attend that. There were some issues on his website that really needed to be addressed. And so he was at the symposium on the panel, and I got a chance to debate him. And I explained to people, even on the podium, he was saying that anything over 95 dB is considered harmful to people's hearing and general well-being. Well, our level is 80 in federal level, so there's a gray area between 80 and 95 that we're going to get tickets for. In New York State, we'll get tickets for them. Some states are a little higher, 86, 89, things like that. So we've got this area to play with that we would like to raise the level up higher, obviously, from 80. But 95 is where people start to really say there's a problem. But we're still being ticketed for those 15 dBs between 80 and 95. And so that was one issue that I debated him on. And also, he uses this comment on his site about, well, a guy took his helmet off, and when he took his helmet off, I was talking to him, and he had earplugs. I noticed he had earplugs in his ear. So, see, even bikers can't stand their own sound. And I explained to him in front of the whole symposium that, listen, Richard, we wear earplugs for the wind that goes past our ears. That's what causes deafness. It's not the sound of our pipes. It's the sound of the wind passing through past our ears. That's why we put earplugs in. If we're not wearing
it, has to do with the shape of your helmet. If your helmet covers your ears, you're okay. But if it's a small one, like
exactly.
a screwdriver has, ears are wide open, catching all that wind.
Exactly.
And that's
yeah,
more harmful than the noise.
Yep, and that's why we wear that. And I had, you know, there's lots of issues on his site that need to be addressed. But, you know, we all know that we're either talking about sound or noise. To me, and I'm sure to you guys, it's sound, the sound of a V-twin, the sound of a Harley. It's a sound. To other people, it's noise. So it becomes a subjective issue. I'll say it. I mean, classical music, for the most part, would be noise to me. But to other people, it's beautiful sound.
You barbarian.
Well, I said, for the most part, there's some things I like. But or hip-hop, say. I'm not too keen on that. There's a social distance between people that's growing between the biker community and the general community, and in a large part you can see there population's increasing, so places of sanctity now have become more intertwined with urban sounds and urban populations and things going on. So people are getting more upset. They're trying to find a little piece of quiet. And then these sites that pop up, these noise-off sites, you know, incite people to say, yeah, you know, let's fight it. Well, I'm all for fighting anything you believe in, but as long as it's not affecting innocent people, and I tried to explain this to Richard at the symposium, you can be all for trying to seek new legislation, although I don't believe we need any more legislation. But if you do, make sure it doesn't affect innocent people. So if a law is enacted, even if you're trying to go after the bad guys, if it affects innocent people like this Bill 416 would have, a parked motorcycle isn't making noise. The same as writing it up for speeding because the speedometer says 160 while it's parked. It makes the same sense. I mean, it's craziness. You can't go up. It has to be an audible encounter. In other words, you know, the police have to go out there and actually see somebody committing it. And that's the way it is on the books now. And you can't go around.
Didn't they try and do that in Boston? If your bike was parked, did you still get a $300 ticket anyway?
They and I'm not sure where they stand with that. They might have that in effect with the labeling system, and it's just not right. Well, they're in litigation, as I understand it. Anyways, they're in litigation over that, and I think that'll eventually be overturned. There's another thing that's happening in some states. I notice if you Google it, that they're actually promoting people to call the police. If you see a loud motorcycle go past, get the license number and call your local police, and they'll actually trace the license number, go to that person's house, have them start up his motorcycle and do a sound check on it. Now, if that isn't becoming, you know, communist, Soviet Union tactics, I don't know what is.
Right.
So, I'm sure you agree with that. Screwdriver and I respect anybody that wants to try to fight or something and they don't think something's right. Stop the motorcycle noise, add a traffic light. Whatever you want to do, you should do something. And we don't want anybody stopped. But we also agree fully with our statesman, Benjamin Franklin, that said that your rights stop where the tip of my nose starts. Whatever you're going to do, when you start affecting me, you have to stop. Mm-hmm. Show respect for me as I should try for you.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I respect people that want change, but let's look at both sides of the coin.
Exactly.
You hurt some people, you hurt people like us.
Now there's something very scary happening. I mean, we have the luxury of looking at other countries to see what's going to come in store for us, especially like Australia and places like that, Europe.
Oh, don't get started on that.
You are so close to something, John.
What's happening now in New York, just yesterday or today, I just got a notice, they passed a legislation in New York now that any more than 50 bicycles at a time have to get a permit. Because they were going at, so obviously you can read into that and say, okay, it's 50 now and it's bicycles. All right, what about motorcycles? It starts to apply to motorcycles. Then all of a sudden that number drops. All of a sudden you're down to a dozen. If more than a dozen motorcycles are riding together, you'll be pulled over unless you have a permit. I mean, this stuff is coming in slowly and slowly, and it's like that old adage where you know, if you throw a frog into water, boiling water, he'll jump out, but if you put him in cold water and turn the heat on, he won't know he's being boiled to death. And this is creeping in here, and we need people's eyes constantly out there seeing what's happening and keeping on top of it. So we started
sharing the information.
Mm-hmm. We started our first MRO in New York City. We started that a couple months ago. It's called NYC MAG, New York City Motorcycle Advocacy Group.org, NYCMAG.org. And we're doing exactly what has to be done. We're scheduling appointments with council people constantly, keeping them up to date on what's going on. We're going after safe parking in New York City now, something that hasn't been done before for motorcycles. We're going after eventually lane splitting, lane sharing in the city like they have in California. And, the noise bill, by and large, right now is off the table, so that gives us a little rest period now for that. But there's other issues that we have to keep fighting for, and also keep them up to date on what's going on. So when they're ready to discuss issues, they come to us and say, "Hey, this person's complaining about this. What can we do about it?" And that's the way you're going to be able to maintain some of your rights as motorcyclists. That's the only way we're going to do it now. We can't sit back and complain when a bill is passed. It's too late. That's my feeling anyways.
Phil and I are always talking about the fact that America is the greatest country in the whole world. All you got to do is look back at Russia and the communism. Do you have any motorcycle clubs they had in Russia? The answer is none. When the Iron Curtain came down, they've got motorcycle clubs everywhere. Today, in communist China, how many motorcycle clubs there are? The answer is none. They won't allow it. Only in America do we allow conversation back and forth, debate. We don't have gulags. We don't have concentration camps out here. We have a right. It's people like you that are calling us up, telling us what's going on in New York and different parts of the Midwest. People like us telling us what's going on in California. This sharing of information is going to make independent guys like Screwdriver and I, a guy like you, John, stand and say, "Hey, I'm sick and tired of it. I don't like it. This is a great country. I want to remain great. I want to be proud of America. I want to stand up." But we got to get more people like John out there saying, these are things wrong. Do you have a great network, John, or are you just kind of a few?
What's that now?
Do you have a large network, or like Screwdriver and I, do you have a small network of trying to get things done? Screwdriver and I are pretty much on our own an awful lot doing things out here.
Oh, really?
Do you have a good background, a good network, or how are you doing out there?
Well, not so much the two of us, Bill. I have another organization that I deal with, and that's Bolt of California.
Right.
So I deal with Bolt of USA, Bolt of the United States.
Right,
Yes.
That's big.
We should mention, but
numerically speaking,
little town. I'm not talking about the global.
Right.
In our little town, when something has to be done, it's you and I doing something. Other guys always say, "Yeah, you guys are great, right on, great, have a good time." They're not backing us up, though. And they're the first ones to criticize us. If we do nothing, no one will criticize us. If
we
do anything, those people that do nothing,
right.
They're the ones to say, "You could have done something better. You could have done this." We are constantly like this. We invite everybody to participate, join us in our area. People just, let screwdriver do it, let Bill do it, it'll be okay, and they'll take it away from us.
Right. We had an incident over the weekend, John, on Saturday night, where a couple of guys had to get back whips on their bikes, and they got arrested for them. They're a felony in California.
No kidding.
Said, well, no, they are. They're a felony in California. It's on the
book. We had a guy out here who was pulled over. They took five things off his bike, including passenger pegs that were brass knuckles. And those things are being sold on the Internet. There's a dipstick that's illegal and things like that. But they know to look for them now because they have these conventions and they show pictures. They show what to look for on bikes. And it's not good to put them on your bikes now, I guess, because you're going to lose them anyways.
Right.
But
and the tickets. Steve,
oh yeah, oh yeah.
How do you get done with money and the lawyer and everything? You're talking about 15, 20 grand.
Yeah. Well, we've got out like you were saying out here. We signed up about 2,500 people at the 3-day motorcycle show here. We got them on petitions and we got their email addresses. I mean, if we need a call to action, we can raise quite a few people for a protest. And I see where the defenders just had 70, 80 bikes at something, a call to action out there in the West someplace. I saw that on the Internet. These call to actions and getting together, like you say, Bolt, and then we've got the Abates out here and things like that. So we can raise some people if we need to. But when you say who's actually doing the grunt work, who's in the trenches, never more than a dozen or so. I think on our group right now, there's seven or eight people that meet every week and try to figure things out. Because it is time-consuming, it's a dedication, and most people are in this for riding motorcycles. They don't understand that 90% of being on that bike is behind-the-scenes stuff to keep you on that bike.
I don't want to be stopped.
Right.
I don't want to be hassled. I go for a ride to be left alone. But when we are stopped, we have to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, there's so many of our friends that are saying, oh, let's know what you guys are doing. The Phil's got great Bolt connections. They give a lot of good guidance, a lot of direction. They give us advice I was not even aware of. Bolt's great. Abate's great. But we lack the numbers in our area, so it's just the two of us. Two schmucks trying to get the out.
Well, we've got Biker Lowdown out here, which is doing great. Their program out here.
That's my sister's show, yes.
Uh-huh. And
your sister's got a show?
No.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
John, are you there, John?
Oh, yeah. I got...
What happened? Phil pressed the button.
No, sometimes it does that. We
as soon as Phil gets mad, he just hangs the button up, John.
As soon as he says his sister, we lost contact.
That's just it?
But I did want to bring up one other point that as much as we're scrutinizing what's on the horizon and things could happen, other people are too. And some of the things that I'm trying to make people aware of, things like standardized clothing, wearing bright fluorescent clothing, no more colors, no more leather vests, mandatory windshields, all this kind of stuff. And then, of course, there's the chips that are coming out for the intelligent highway system that are going to be put in cars. Well, if they design a way to put them in motorcycles, eventually what they want to do with these chips is if you've got violations or they just want to shut you down, they can turn the chip off from a control center and you just won't be able to start your vehicle. And this is all sounds futuristic now, but it's coming along. And great ways to control motorcycles and everything.
And they do that out here in California. The Highway Patrol does it. They use them as bait cars to catch car thieves. So they let them get in the car, and they drive two or three blocks, and then they shut them down.
That's going to happen to all of us sooner or later. I mean, if things go on, and this whole intelligent highway system, right now they can't factor motorcycles into it, and some of them would love to put us on an RV status so that they can tell motorcycles where and when they can ride and what highways it can be on. But so far we're still allowed to be a motor vehicle. But I can see that being a fight, you know, to try and drop us to RV status.
Over the course of the years, John, I've accepted this computer lifestyle as a necessary evil, but I've told everybody that the devil invented the computer. I say that in jest. Computer, if I had all of my tickets I could get in California and they pull my license, you just drive over to Arizona, get another license. But once it became standardized, everything changed. When I would go down to Mexico, of course, nobody... I mean, the Mexican police don't care I'm going into Mexico. They have no reason at all. Nobody brings drugs into Mexico. But when you come back into America, I got the computers. I got everything. I see you've been into Mexico 3 times this month and all that. It's all around me.
It's
so again,
unbelievable.
I realize the importance of the computers give us a chance to exchange information, but I blame this damn computer for a whole change in my lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Well, how many people carrying cell phones don't realize they're being tracked if they have that phone on? If you don't take the battery out of that cell phone, you're just walking around with a big blip on the radar screen.
There is a friend of mine in San Diego with a club, and that's exactly correct. He pointed out to me that I saw him disconnected. I go, what the hell are you doing? He goes, well, they can track us. And I went, who's going to track us? He goes, they. I went, oh, Jesus. My wife needs to reach me. She has to call Screwdriver Up or one of my other friends. I don't want to carry the cell phone. I don't have a pager. I don't have anything. I want to be alone on my motorcycle. Mm-hmm. However, again, for me to communicate with you, we have to have a system. So it does good, but maybe I'm old school, but it was so much easier in my life when I didn't have this all around me.
Yeah, I have apes, I have aftermarket pipes, and I ride with a nice light helmet, and what else can they get me for? I guess those three things, and I'm always riding that way, and I'm facing, every time I go out, I could come home, and that little trip down the parkway has cost me $300-$400.
Right.
It's a shame, you know, but that's the
probable
way I like
cause
to ride.
Pull you over based upon what they think is loud pipes and illegal helmets. They can pull you over. Probable cause. What are you, a criminal? No, you're just riding. You're an American citizen riding on American road in American vehicle, and they're treating us like criminals. That's bullshit.
Out here in California, Schwarzenegger runs ape hangers on his bike, and he had to change the law because he instituted getting the law changed. Because people were getting pulled over for the ape hangers, but nobody was pulling over the governor.
The first law he passed in California, he raised the handlebars 6 inches higher than the law. So no matter what else he does in history, I'll say, you know what, he did that okay for us.
that's funny. Yeah, when you go back in time, when your motorcycle started out, you just climbed on the thing and rode. There was no helmets, no specs on the bike or anything like that. And I'm old school that way, too. If we're going to start passing laws, I'm all for grandfathering. In other words, if this EPA label thing, if they give the EPA money again and they want to start this matchup system for noise regulations and we can't fight it, it's going to be a thing, fine. But grandfather it in. Put it on the 2012s. Whenever it comes in,
you're riding a bike with that model,
it's got to be there. But don't put it on my 2006 Night Train that doesn't have anything. Don't put it on anything that, that we've been riding a certain way for. You know, and then that's fine. And grandfathering is something that they don't like to do because it costs them some money. They lose a little bit of revenue. All the people
right.
that are already out there doing that, that's revenue to them if they can pass that bill to be blanket and cover everybody.
John, we have Karen on the phone. She wants to say something. Karen, you want to jump in here?
Hi,
Karen,
guys.
Can
How you
jump in?
Hi, Karen.
Hi, John. How are you?
Good, thanks.
She don't care about you or I, though.
No,
all right. No, that's all right. Don't worry about us. That's fine.
Go ahead.
Don't worry about us.
Go ahead.
Don't worry about us.
Hey, John, you know, I have to give another kudos to you. It's good, you know, it's good that New York City rallied together so quickly. Like you said, that bill came out of nowhere, and they were voting on it in 2 weeks. It was fast, and you guys rallied, and it was a good thing. No one else could have gotten there that fast. But
yeah.
With you guys over there. And for taking the time to talk to Richard from Noise Off. I know you've been informing his members on the background of the EPA and what it actually means for the pipes. Have you gotten any feedback from them?
I did have a couple. Yeah, if you're following the site, and I do tell everybody that's listening, they should sign up to these forums on these noise websites because you should know what they're talking about on these things. It's to your benefit. But yeah, I wrote a nice little thing about a fellow who was concerned about how you deal with it, and I explained to him why there's aftermarket pipes, and he seemed to get it. You know, he seemed to understand it. And then I went off a little bit on another post, and Richard said, you know, he moved it and said, it just bothered me. I mean, to a guy running around going after a minor, he sounded like he was going to go postal on this little 17-year-old kid. I mean, you're living in a cul-de-sac. Isn't that where kids grow up? Isn't that where kids make noise? Isn't that where kids... Why the hell are you living in a cul-de-sac if you want peace and quiet?
Yeah.
But he's been good to me. I mean, I'm just posting when I need to, but I'm watching the site it's good now that we have we can see what each other is doing. I think that's one step to getting closer. To solving problems. If you're able to talk to, I don't want to say your enemy, but your opponent or someone who's on another track than you are, if you're able to discuss things with them, at least it's better than just coming out from the dark and hitting you with things.
John,
yeah,
I believe that Harley Davidson will jump on board the bandwagon immediately. If they can get rid of all these custom aftermarket exhaust people, Samson, D&D, whoever with that, again, to me, it's like Walmart taking away all these small stores and crushing them like that. And I believe the dealership will absolutely join the government 100% to squash all this so we're all stuck with those Harley-Davidson stock mufflers. I don't have any proof of that, just a statement I'm making. But this, if they can destroy all these small shops and make it Harley-Davidson only, be like a giant monopoly, I believe they'll jump in about the government first chance they get.
Well, who's the one that endorsed this high-tech noise meter that are going to be able to be easily portable and carried around with the police? Who's the one that's pushing this? I'm sorry to say that I don't want to mention it on the air, but this organization, I'm sorry to see them doing this. It bothers us. They shouldn't be involved in legislation of that sort, I don't think. But they're pushing this new noise meter and stuff to the government.
Out here, John, we have John Del Santo in San Diego out of Abate 6, and him and his wife went down to Texas and got certified on that meter, and they bought one. And the first of the month at Kate Sutton's Park in San Diego, they will certify your pipes for you.
If you got a ticket, you can carry that certificate with you, right?
That's correct.
Cops pull you over and go, no way, buddy, I've been checked.
And the ticket already, the certificate works. I've already used it twice.
The problem I have with that, though, is, again, if you've heard the California exhaust systems, it sounds like a sewing machine. And I'm telling you guys, you should pay attention to what's happening to us in California, because next year, 2 years later, it's going to be all across the country. All these exhaust systems are going to sound just like the California exhaust system, which is just, again, I'll say a sewing machine.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that part of why we ride? Because if I were to fly across country and you gave me a choice, I'd want to be in an open cockpit biplane flying across country. Listen to the sound of that wacko engine, you know, the wacko engine just turning away, you know, those pistons spitting out oil and stuff like that. I mean, that's just me, but that's what I love.
I've always said that in today, if the Wright brothers were trying to get their airplane off the ground, there'd be so much red tape, the government would never let them get up in the air.
That's true. That's true. I was going to say something else, too.
I know my people. I got you lost, confused.
Well, how is Richard? Is he willing to back off on the EPA, do you think, now that he's seen happened?
I believe he's firmly entrenched with that. Plus the other two sites out there that I've seen, they're all using that. And they're still on them. They don't understand that the onus is on the manufacturer, and they haven't been putting it on the pipes. But they're getting some misinformation about how the pipes not being labeled or difficult to see or not in a place where it can be readily visible. These are the things that defeat the bill, and they don't seem to get that yet. They don't, for whatever reason, they haven't physically looked at it themselves and understand that this going after this labeling system at the moment, it just won't work. Now, if it's revised and they start labeling them properly, like the Code of Federal Regulations had initially stated, then sure, you probably heard us talking a minute ago, then okay, fine, but grandfather it in. You know, don't make us run out and all have to do this. Grandfather it in on the new bikes now that they have to come out of the factory like that.
Yeah, they can't force the public to suddenly go out and make them buy new pipes. They would have to grandfather it in.
So here in California, 1972, in earlier bikes, of course, they don't need turn signals. I want to say 1965 and earlier, don't need a front brake. That's all been grandfathered. So we should be able to do the same thing on your lines. And I agree with you. If we're going to have a law passed, why are you going to penalize us who've had the motorcycles and pay for the motorcycles?
Right.
So I agree with you on that, John.
Now we have enough people. If we really got it together to do what they did back in the 60s, the MMA, which I'm so proud of, the Modified Motorcycle Association, when they were trying to get the sort of biker types off the road, they went after their chopped front ends. They went after the extended front ends and said, no, these bikes can't be on the road. They're too dangerous. So they paid with their own money. They hired a scientist to do tests to prove that extended front ends were not unsafe. And so they allowed them, and that's why we have them today on bikes. What we need is a test, is a sound test, to raise the 80 dB up into that gray zone, up to somewhere in the 95 zone or in the 90s, where it doesn't yet become, you know, irritating or physically damaging to people, but at the same time puts the sound of a motorcycle where it should be, sound like a motorcycle. And if we could possibly have scientific tests done where we do tests, people stepping off curbs, how far away can you hear that sound? Do you know if there's something next to you? Things like that when you're in a car. Can you do the way they do other tests with introducing new drugs and stuff, giving them a placebo and then giving them the real thing. Well, you know, have somebody say, is there something next to you now? Oh, okay, is there something next to you now? When they claim you can't, it's not safe to hear that bike next to you. Well, we all know it is. We all know. I've seen it myself. I've seen yellow cabs in front of me almost run Hondas over, but at the same time looking all over because they're wondering where I am. And we all know that works. So if we could have scientists prove there is a level of safety in sound, and then bring this dB level to a point where my pipes are, I think, 93 dB. All right. So I'm going to get a ticket right now. But 93 isn't a sound. I can pull in and people don't know I pulled up if I want to. I can also make somebody wake up that's fallen asleep at the wheel when I'm going past them in a highway. So we have that flexibility with our motorcycles, and that's what they were intended to be, you know, since the beginning of time.
Right.
So we have to figure out a way to have some scientific tests done that will be in favor of raising the dB level and also letting people understand that there's always going to be idiots out there, and those are the people you have to go after. I don't come home at 2 in the morning. I live in New York City. I make sure I come home early enough. If I'm out on the bike and I do have to come home that late, I'm going down 30 miles an hour in fourth gear, so you can hardly hear the bike just to get it down the street.
In California, I got to say, Screwdriver and I, because we live in California, we drive the California freeways, we split traffic everywhere we go. It's just the way our lifestyle is. I think it's critical that we have louder pipes, so when I'm coming by you, I can crack my pipe a little bit, because if you're inside your car and you got the radio on, you're doing this, you're on the phone illegally, your text message is illegal, whatever you're doing, picking your nose. If I rack my pipes once, that makes you aware, hey, there's a motorcycle out there.
Uh-huh.
If I had a quiet exhaust system and I was on the freeway splitting traffic and I wrapped my pipes and you couldn't hear me, you could just drift right over and take me out. Not unlike what happened to Screwdriver a few months ago when he got took out real hard on the freeway. So I believe he got bounced pretty hard.
Boy.
Well, he doesn't bounce as good as he used to anymore, but he used to bounce. Hanged up.
Pretty bad. Broken ribs, punctured lung.
Oh, my God.
Broken shoulder.
Well, young guys can recover from that. Somebody my age, that they'd just be...
Young guy, dude.
...putting in nails in the coffin.
Because he stands next to me a lot.
Oh, man.
For 39 years, I've had a hard life.
But I've just recently started splitting lanes with another fellow that I ride with, and when we go, you know, we're all involved in the same rights organization here, and so he leads, and he's a pro at it, and if I get too far behind him, people start closing in again because they don't hear me as loud as they hear him. There's a difference, but people by and large are pretty polite. They'll part a little bit to let you through, but it's amazing how much gas you save, how much time you save. All about the footprint. You know, we're telling council people this, that we're on and off the bike in shorter time, less gas is used, less traffic congestion, safer for us, so we're not rear-ended on stop and go traffic. It's all about protecting the individual, and some people don't understand that that's what we're trying to do. Everything we do on the bike is to keep us safe. We're not out there. If they would only understand that, we're not out there to irritate people. And because of that,
on the road, I got to tell you, we tell people that you want to split traffic with us, you look two cars ahead. The cars you're passing, keep them in your peripheral vision. Do not look at the cars to your left and your right. I'm a motocross racer, desert racer, hill climber, yada, yada, yada. We were told never look at the object or you'll drift right into it. So I tell people, split in traffic, look two cars ahead, the traffic on either side of you, keep them in your peripheral vision, but do not look or you'll hit one of those cars for sure.
You look where you go. You go where you look. And one of my in an old club I was in ran right into part of our group coming the other way because he came around the bend and he got excited. He saw them and he drove right into them because he's looking right at them. And you don't do that on a curve, especially. That's very very true. Very true. You look ahead and keep your eyes off the sides. I think. You know, it's going to be an interesting year, 2010. There's going to be a lot of legislation trying to pop up. There's going to be a lot more people going after motorcycles. For the simple fact that they might win. They want to take a side and try to go after something. We've traditionally just wanted to be left alone, and now we have to be vocal. You see it on all the websites. You see that Australian thing they put on YouTube is incredible, that nine-minute piece that the Finks member addressed the press over in Australia about
right.
The way the press has been treating motorcyclists. I mean, it's an incredible piece to watch, and traditionally nobody would do this. I mean, this was something traditionally clubs and
oh, and that's why where we're at right now, because that's the only way we're going to get the message out.
I'm hoping that with shows like this and communication, again, I'm so impressed. I got to tell you something. I know all the motorcycle organizations, and I don't belong to any of them, because throughout the course of all these years, I've watched nothing but in-house fighting, egos, attitude. Hey, I've been here for 10 years. I deserve. You don't deserve nothing. Everybody new coming in has to help out. I've only gotten interest because I'm given the opportunity now to speak to people across the country. I am so sick and tired of seeing somebody. I've been with such an organization for 10 years, and I think I deserve something special, or they think they deserve something special.
Uh-huh.
Step aside. Invite new people in. Embrace them. You people that are running organizations, lose your ego and your attitude.
Uh-huh.
The message
uh-huh.
is more important than the messengers.
We December of 2008, on the steps of City Hall, we, like I said, we were with a group called CCMS. We were supporting them because they had done some groundwork and done quite a little bit already. They're gone now. We went through another group in New York City, tried them, and they're gone, and a third group. So we just started our own organization, but what you said is so true. The egos are what destroy the organizations, the egos, the titles. You know, everybody want to be somebody in it. I take a back seat to all this. I'm very proud to be on your show, and I'm happy for the work I'm able to do, but as far as accolades or any notoriety, I don't want that stuff. My name pops up, unfortunately, for a couple of letters I wrote to that guy out in Maine, which I wish it wouldn't now. Richard Tersite comes on, but I don't want the notoriety. I just want to get the information out, and I
don't
care.
Need it.
I
right?
don't
you
care.
Don't
yeah.
need it. Again, I'm feeling that you feel the same thing, that the message.
Uh-huh.
is more important than the messengers. Is that right?
Yeah. And now if you have someone in your organization that's eloquent and is handsome or
man, pay attention. I said there's only screwdriver and I. There's nobody left.
I mean, yeah, if they want to be the out front person, that's fine. Go for it, because some people are better equipped to do that. But I know my place, and my place is behind the scenes, and my place is digging up information and trying to bring parties together. If I can bring parties together, like a producer, I like to be a producer. I don't want to be the director, you know.
John, have you had contact with John Del Santo out of San Diego? You heard
no.
that name at all?
No, I haven't, no.
Well, I'm telling you that this man lives by the computer. This man collects information, and the same thing. He doesn't look for accolades. He doesn't look for attaboys. He's just another guy out there plugging away, doing a great job. John Del Santo out of San Diego. If that name pops up, you get a chance to talk to that boy sometime. He's a great guy.
John just spent the last almost three and a half years trying to get the state of California to put something up on the Amber Alerts in February 11th.
You guys have Amber Alerts in your state?
Yeah, we do. What did he want to put up on him?
No, it's share the road.
Oh, okay.
No, share the road, look twice, motorcycles everywhere.
This is for every Amber Alert in the whole state of California. Another one schmuck all by himself almost out there fighting a way to get this done. Sure, he's had some people helping, but just one guy saying, hey, this is wrong, we can do something about it. That's what makes this country great. Somebody sees something, they say, I'm going to try to make it better. No matter what state you're in, what you do is fantastic.
That's a great point. I like that, Amber Alerts. I'm going to look into that here because basically the only Amber Alerts we see is all motorcycles pull over ahead.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. But I'll do what I'll do, John, is I'll send you John Del Santo's email, and you can get in contact with him that way.
Wonderful.
I think he'd be worth your while. He's just a great guy. No ego at all.
No, and he'll tell you.
Unlike Screwdriver, he's got the big ego. Him,
right? He'll tell
talks
you,
all the time.
He'll tell you exactly how to get it, how to get you started.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
He's he's a real down to earth guy, and he's kind of like our nuts and bolts guy.
And I should point out too, and I say this not for identification, but not to put a label upon him. Screwdriver and I ride nothing but Harley-Davidson. That's our whole life. John is a metric type of a guy. I see him as a motorcycle rider, an American citizen who happens to pick a Japanese motorcycle. I have never looked at his bike or his wife's bike, and his wife will ride the wheels off almost anybody I know. These are just two people that choose other motorcycles. Just fantastic people. I embrace all people, Honda, Yamaha, Kawasaki. If you can get together, if you can communicate with us, we got to get together at some point in time.
That's
we can't
true.
Sit around this bar forever saying, my bike's better than your bike. They'll take us away one at a time.
Right. I have no problem with people who want to ride foreign bikes. The only problem I have is if they ever make comments about Harleys, like if they bring up any points of recalls or broke down or this or that or more expensive or anything like that. I don't like them. We know why we ride Harleys. We know about Harleys. We know what we have to deal with Harleys. We all know that stuff. We don't need somebody to tell us that. And
John, Screwdriver and I must hang out at different bars. In the bars we're at, we don't seem to have anybody making those comments.
No.
Because they're all topless bars. I'm not sure why we're at But I would never badmouth another motorcycle again. Because I've got some veterans that choose to ride that. And I said, of all the people in the world or in America, if you're a veteran and you want to ride something other than a Harley, be a BMW, an English motorcycle, whatever, especially if you're a veteran, you make the choice. I don't consider myself or Screwdriver special because we have Harleys. I think we're lucky because we have Harleys. That's our philosophy on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's it's something you can't transfer to someone if they have to experience it themselves. I've had people ask me why a Harley, and I just can't. When I bought it, the first bike I ever bought was a Harley, and I didn't know what I was going to get. I was looking at everything. But when I got the Harley, I said to myself, what a lucky person I am to make this choice, you know, first off like this. Because from that ride home when I bought it up in Buffalo to ride it back to New York, those 500 miles on my first bike, and I said to myself on that trip back, this is what it's all about. This is why people do this. And,
if it's in the blood, it's not in the blood. Screwdriver and I work on a lot of programs, charity drives out here, especially veterans programs. I can never get the metric cruiser shops or the English motorcycle, the German shops. None of these dealerships will help us. And I finally just said, I go to your events. What is it your problem? And he said, Bill, if I bring 7 Honda Gold Wings or 10 Honda Gold Wings to your party, I'm going to lose some of them. If you bring 10 Harleys to my Ducati shop, ain't none of them going to sell the Harley and run out and get a Ducati. So even though they support agree with what we're doing, we cannot get the Japanese, metric, English, whatever. The other shops don't want to do it. They feel they'll lose their customers. So, in a sense, I can understand it, but to have us who own the motorcycles waste our damn precious time by trying to say, my bike's better than yours, does that make you somebody special? There's no way at all. You're
right.
A man. First,
right.
Be a man first. There'd be anything else you want to be.
Right. Right. And, yeah, well, we're seeing it all now. I mean, our MRO in New York here, we have people representing the scooters, everything. I mean, we're taking 2- and 3-wheeled vehicles, every make, model, every type. We have the representatives to lay out their information and everything to the council people, and. By and large, the council people that ride, I would have to say a lot of them aren't riding Harleys, so it's good to have somebody there that says, oh, you have whatever these things are. You have one of those? I got one too, you know. And, so it breaks the ice. It makes it good.
Well, you know, if you got a different motorcycle, you face the same potholes I do. You face the same bad traffic light or stop sign. We have the same dangers. My program is to get out, go for a ride, and come home safe. And I don't care what bike you're on, you have the same problems I have. Screwdriver and I both have late model Harleys, and I believe, I'm trying to think for a second, yeah, I'm pretty sure, I don't know of any of our partners that have tools but Screwdriver and I. We'll stop for any motorcycle broke down the road, and though I don't have the ability to fix some of the high-tech metric cruisers, sometimes the simple thing is, well, let me pull your seat off, let me check your battery. Look, your cable's loose, let me fix it here. I don't know why all Harley riders don't carry tools. We used to do it in the beginning in the 70s and the 80s,
mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden now because we're riding better motorcycles, we kind of left our tools at home. It's kind of a sad thing.
Right. So it's just like them guys we saw them with the one-time bill, and you asked the guy, do you have any tools? Where would I put them?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I never leave home without my ball-peen hammer. I mean, I I thought everybody carries that.
I gotta
tap my BDL, my open belt primary, sometimes that gets a little clogged up, and I gotta just, you know, tap it as I'm riding just to make sure, you know.
With a straight face to me, huh? Oh God. Where'd you carry your hammer?
My back pocket.
Oh. You wanna tell them how you carry yours? In plain sight from God's world?
In plain sight on top of my saddlebag.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, some people put them on their, I've seen them across the front handlebars, stuff like that. But,
I also seen a guy do that, and that he went over the railroad tracks and it broke loose and knocked all his teeth out. So he doesn't.
Oh, my God.
He doesn't carry one anymore.
Somebody out there should write a book.
No, you know what I do carry? It. I have real high boots. I have up to my knee almost so that I wear in the summer, riding boots, and I stick it down in that, and it carries nice on that. But I can also walk around town with a nice heavy, heavy stick, monopod, because I'm a photographer. So, you know, I need to, you know, take a slow speed shot. I got to have my monopod with me so I can walk around with that too. And I've been approached, and I've had to explain to them, no, I'm a photographer. They don't know what to say.
You just got to always carry it in your boot, because they'll tell you it's a concealed weapon.
Even if it's sticking out part of it? Yeah, this whole thing, it's amazing. Last night we had a club meeting and like three of us there. We have nothing serious with it, but could be felonies. I mean, we could be doing 5 years. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
But being in a club, you have a little more of a disadvantage, because if you're going down the road and a member in your organization has something which they can pull you over for, your whole packet's pulled over. That's one of the things about life.
Yeah. As soon as we launched our club, it's coming up to 2-year anniversary now, took a nice little ride, about six of us up state to a little event, and got pulled over and photographed, and so we looked at each other and said, well, welcome to the club life. And we said they'll have this big huge map like they do in the underground bunkers, big huge map with links going to all these different clubs, and a link to our club with a great big question mark.
It's a daily occurrence for us.
Every time you attend a large party out here, you're photographed, blah, blah, blah. You're recorded in the Bikers Task Force as an associate, even though you just came in to check the party out. So you get these labels stuck upon you, and again, it makes it hard just to go out and have a good time and ride.
Oh, yeah. I called Florida up after they passed their new gang legislation stuff, and according to the way it was written, I qualify as I called up and talked to somebody there, and I said, let me ask you, you know, I'm apparently considered this now, and they said, no, you're not. I said, well, it's according to the way it's written there. Oh, well, yeah, but we don't really, you know, we're not really going out.
Sure, come on down. We got a room for you.
I got to tell you one thing that happened to me, and it might be interesting to you. I'm a dual citizen, born in Canada, so I always traveled as an American up to see my folks and stuff. But I always traveled as American, proud to do it. But I kept, you know, take two passports with me when I go, but I just use my American. So I went over the border to Canada about 5 years ago on the bike, and they pulled me over, and they said, we want to strip search you for tattoos. And I said, what are you talking about? We want to just check you out for tattoos. I said, what do you mean for tattoos? They said, well, you know, we're looking for certain tattoos if you have those. I said, well, I don't accept this. Let me talk to your supervisor. And talk to the supervisor, and they said, we have a right to do this, and we're going to do it. Otherwise, you don't come into the country. I said, is that so? So I pulled out my Canadian passport and looked at them and said, sorry, but I'm coming into my country. They got so mad at me, and they said, from now on, you show us that when you enter the country, you show us your Canadian passport. I said, yeah, okay. So I realized how bad it's getting now. But if I wasn't a Canadian citizen and I was going up to Canada, I'm just a regular guy. I don't do anything wrong. You know, I'm just a regular guy. No record, no nothing. No tattoos or anything either. But here it is where you're coming into Canada and they have the right to humiliate you and strip you down and look at your tattoos before they let you into Canada. That is pretty scary.
John, I don't want to, make fun of Canada, but I want to say for a fact that, well, my brother just went to Canada for a visit. He was at that inspection station 5 hours. He was traveling around talking to the other motorcycle guys and clubs and all that, and they said the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, whatever, they like they own the country. Mm-hmm. They forget that they're supposed to work for us as citizens.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tough place. Again, if you're a straight citizen, maybe all these problems, I don't know. But their outlook on the motorcycle world in Canada is it's no fooling around. It's serious. It's a tough place to live.
Very serious.
Yeah, I've been following the stuff up there.
Come on down.
Well, they've done some stupid things up there, too. I mean, it's, you know, I don't know. For whatever reason, they've made some big mistakes there, too, so... So the people, the civilians, are pretty riled up about it.
Add public relations.
Yeah. Boy. I just hope we can travel. My dream, I dreamed one night. Wouldn't
this
it be great if we could take every single good law in this whole 48-state mainland here and made that the rule? In other words, like... 20-inch high ape hangers are okay. One rear view mirror is okay. This and that. We take the laws from each state that they have that are good laws and put them all together to make one good law for the whole U.S. for motorcycles. Because you can't go from state by state here. You can end up getting tickets. You're legal in one state, and the next state you're not.
That goes along with the right to travel. You should be. We should have the right to travel as freely as we want.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't stop.
Nope.
You know, we're talking about things being grandfathered. In the 70s, I had a long stretch frame at Denver's, if you guys know Denver Springer's. He had made me and my brothers a 40-over Springer. I ran a 40-over Springer suicide. We stretched our frame so that the rake was as close to stock as we could. I didn't have turn signals. I ran a 40-over Springer, no front brake. I had like 5 wires on my motorcycle. It seems to me there was a time when I had no money in my pocket, but lots of free time. It was the greatest part of my life. Now, Screwdriver and I, we have money in our pockets, but I don't have the freedoms I do anymore. I don't feel like... I used to be pull off the side of the road and just crash out.
Mm-hmm.
My God, you'd pull off the side of the road in California now, they lock you up for something or another.
Vagrant.
Yeah. And it's... You know, what we examine why? Well, population increases, the rate of, you know, the whole thing with, population is the biggest factor. I mean, just so many people now and control, they just, they're scrambling to figure out how to control everybody. But I say, you know, George Washington was a terrorist. I mean, he was fighting the British. They had posters up, he was wanted. Well, okay, so our country started in 1776. We were a bunch of people that wanted to break away from the British. But once we got our independence, since those last 200 years, we've been figuring ways to take away the guns from us constantly, take away our right of protection for the last 200 years. Why? So that we can't overthrow the government again. You know,
Paul Revere some type of biker or something? He was going down the road on his horse, and he only got a couple miles before the British captured him, right?
Yeah, they got him at a checkpoint.
You didn't get too far. That's odd. We know Paul Revere. We only made a couple miles, and I don't think at the top of my head, who was the guy that took over Paul Revere and told the rest of the people? I can't think of his name, but Paul Revere goes a couple miles, gets jacked up, and he's famous, you know?
Right. No, it's like you're talking about the gun rights. You know, Washington State Supreme Court decided on an issue today, and it's going to go to the U.S. Supreme Court. But Washington State ruled on Thursday that the state and the local governments must obey the federal Constitution's Second Amendment protecting an individual right to have a gun. This right, the state court ruled over 2 justices' protests, is necessary to an Anglo-American regime of ordered liberty and fundamental to the American scheme of justice.
Another right slowly is going to be taken away from us.
That's true. But they also said, Bill, you know, the state's court main opinion reached by a 7-2 vote on the Second Amendment issue is here, and I haven't opened it up yet, but a brief concurrence arguing against reaching the issue of the Second Amendment scope is also there, and a concurring and dissenting opinion is there also. But while the majority said it was not settling on a specific standard for judging the constitutionality of this particular state or local gun control law, If they refuse at this point to embrace the tough test, that is finding any such law invalid unless it could satisfy strict scrutiny.
Well, you know, we have a lot of our friends that have concealed weapons, what do you call it, permits.
Yep.
I've never gone that route and all that, but kind of sad in this country that you need a concealed weapon just to a concealed weapons permit rather than have something with that. And yet you can be attacked by somebody, they can rob you, beat you, shoot you, and if you have a weapon, you can be the one in trouble, you know. Or they rob you, and as they run away, you shoot them. And what does the current law in California say? Once the contact is broken off and the aggressor is leaving the scene, if you make any contact with him at all, shoot him in the back and get your money back. You are the one going to be charged for crime. Now, what kind of a crazy country do we have here?
Uh-huh.
Well, John, you got all kind of problems in New York with laws, don't you, about those gun laws, don't you?
Oh, if you want to paint the worst possible place to live where people don't have rights, yeah, New York City. That whole thing years ago where the guy walked, Amtrak train, he walked down the aisle shooting people like pigeons left and right. And, you know, because you can't carry anything to protect yourself, you had to wait your turn to get killed. You know, why he even reloaded. You know, we're sitting ducks. I'm not saying I would carry a gun if it were easy to carry one, but I'm saying give us the right to make that decision. You know, if a family man wants to go out with his kids and his wife on a night on the town or take a walk in Central Park, why should he say, oh, we can't go there because, you know, it's dangerous? You know, we should be able to enjoy this planet. You know,
we are
be able
Americans.
To go where we want.
This is America. It's our country. The police work for us. It's our parks. We should walk free and confident wherever we go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And
Karen, you out there? What do you think about that I'm talking about? Take some of your rights back. You still out there, Karen? You're awful quiet.
Yeah, I'm still here. Oh, awesome. You guys
in.
Are doing fine. You're having a... Keep going. You guys are fine.
You got a lot
of
rights up there,
screwdriver, so jump in anytime, please.
You got a lot of rights up there, Karen, don't you? I mean, from compared to New York City.
Oh, New York City is terrible. I don't wish to live there at all, ever. I mean, you guys go through so much more than the rest of the state does. I feel bad for you guys.
You know, what we have to watch out for in New York City is traveling. Getting on a subway, they can search your bags when you're, you know, under the underground. And a lot of the places you go into, metal detectors and buildings now. So you know,
I'd have trouble going through one of those.
If you
your
forget.
Whole body would set the damn thing up. John,
yeah.
I see something on TV, and maybe I got the wrong state, where a young girl was being attacked by a bunch of teenagers, and the three transit security people were not allowed to help, so they just sat there and watched her get beat up. Did you catch that on TV?
No, I didn't actually see that. I caught a glimpse of it. I saw something as I was in passing. I saw that where they were standing there, and somebody was getting beat up, and
they weren't allowed to give her any assistance at all. They weren't allowed to interfere. There was a group of like 7 or 10 kids beating the hell out of some girl.
Well, she tried to stand behind them, figuring.
Well, tried to hide behind the transit people.
She tried to hide
they wouldn't help her out.
They wouldn't help her out.
What kind of country do we live in?
They stepped out of the way.
Where was it, you know,
they were afraid they were going to get sued. And then when they talked to them, they asked them, well, why didn't you just call 911? Well, we didn't want to get involved.
Karen, did you see that on TV at all?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. It was disgusting. They were actually standing over her as she was getting beat up.
Was this in New York? I might have missed it. Or was this somewhere else?
Oh, where was it? I caught it on Good Morning America in passing.
I don't think
it
was New York. I think it was somewhere else.
It was a transit station, but it was East Coast, too, but I don't know where.
Yeah, I don't remember where myself.
There's a... there was something published, an article published, and I saw it on some site, and every year they have this run into Little Italy from New Jersey, and it's usually run by the Blue Knights and a bunch of them folk, and this year they wanted to have it stopped because of the noise issues, and there was a petition, there was a lot of lobbying going on to stop this run, not allowing them to park down there or to organize this thing. And so they hadn't gotten a permit to do it, to have the run. And I called the person up to check on it, it was pulled right afterwards because it said that the Blue Knights were going to do it anyways, whether they got a permit or not. They refused to stop this annual run. And then all of a sudden a story was pulled, and I emailed the writer, the reporter, to find out why the story was pulled off of their site.
That was in Seattle. Someone typed into the chat room. Thank you for doing that.
Didn't get a response back from them.
You didn't? Okay.
No, from the reporter.
Yeah, I had that article out.
Maybe you linked it to me or something. Maybe you linked it up. It was on a weekly update.
Yeah, it was in the New York Stream Writers weekly update, and I haven't been able to track down what happened either.
But it was pulled off the site because I went to the original article, and then I wrote to the writer's byline, and I wrote to her and asked her how come it was pulled off of your site. And never got back to me. But I think it was after they had a statement that the Blue Knights said we're going to do it anyways. I think they probably said can't be saying this. You know, you represent law enforcement. You can't be saying you're going to break the law. So I think that's why it was pulled off.
You're probably right. And they did say that they were going to do it anyway.
Yeah. That's why I found that kind of
noise and.
That's why I found that good ammunition for us, you know. Here the police are saying, we don't care what you say, we're going to do it anyways.
Well, that's like the town that we live in. Bill and I were locked in an interrogation room with the heat on.
For an hour
with a guy wearing a winter coat with a tape recorder going. But he had the nerve to ask me if I knew what kind of bike the chief rode. So I told him what it was. It was a fat boy with shotgun pipes, and the chief happens to like wearing a beanie helmet. So how can you guys effectively enforce something that your own chief is breaking? And that's how this whole thing snowballed into getting the city to stop doing what they were doing.
But didn't it also happen to Lake Elsinore? No.
Temecula.
Chief of police, same thing.
Cops
out there busted, and the chief of police got an illegal helmet.
He got a legal helmet, and he also had aftermarket pipes on his bike. And he went, instead of fighting it and letting his guys do what they wanted to do, he went in front of the town council and stopped them and told them that he's not going to enforce those tickets because half the guys on the force all have the same stuff on their bikes.
Now, who's that hurting? It's hurting the city. It's hurting the gas stations. It's hurting the restaurants. It's hurting all those people that live in that town because it's making you not want to go to that town.
Right.
You know, I've been trying not to say this for the past 30 seconds or so, but I got to get it out. Once the Blue Knights in San Diego asked me to go for a ride, I said, well, you know, communication's important. Yeah, I can see that. I said, where do you want to go? Well, we're going to take a ride around. We're going to have the VFW hall where we have spaghetti dinner, Bill. And I said, and what? And he said, that's it, Bill. I thanked them, and I never went on a ride. I'm sure spaghetti was good, but I don't know, guys. That's just a little bit too homogenized for me. No Blue Knights feelings, but, man, it was boring. They never invited me back again, by the way. That was 20 years ago. Oh, God. We are having this area. So many young Marines are getting these rice rockets, metric cruisers, excuse me. I get messages from people on this machine saying, Bill, stop calling them rice rockets. They wish to be called metric cruisers, all right? This America, you write the cruise, anything you want to be called. But these young men and women on the metric cruisers, they don't have the skill for what they're doing. They're crashing motorcycles left and right.
We happen to be number one in the country for that, though.
Well, we're right next to the largest military base here and all that.
And also, L.A. is going to do something this weekend on the 20, I think tomorrow night or Saturday night. They're going to have a converge on downtown all of L.A. against motorcycles this weekend.
Yeah, they're justifying it. I was reading that something. It's justifying it by it's a motorcycle safety and motorcycle awareness. They're going to be pulling motorcycles over to give them tickets so they can get the motorcycle up to par for more safe riding. That's the biggest crock I ever heard in my life.
That's correct.
Let them stay in L.A., though. I love the people in L.A., but you people in the East Coast, don't come to L.A. There's crazy people. Screwdriver and I are okay in San Diego. L.A., crazy people.
Well, there's going to be another issue we're going to have to deal with, and I think sooner than later is going to be engine size, because on some of these sites, noise off sites and stuff, they're bringing up the engine size now. Why do they need to have 120 cubic inch engines? This all adds to the pollution and the noise. And so
right, we have that in some countries now. Correct. They have a
in Europe, they're starting to do that and things. But if they legislate engine size, okay, how much engine size does it take to do 60 miles an hour? Okay. And if they go back to legislating, you know, we can't go over a 650 engine or something like that, boy, it's going to be a whole another rigmarole to deal with.
Well, that same vein, we had for some years ago, Harley-Davidson came out with a frame and a model called the FXR.
Mm-hmm.
The excellent frame. They discontinued it because they went to the Dynas. The Dyna frame was made with one less rubber mount, and it would pick up some 100, 105. You pick up a little bit of vibration, a little bit of shaking. I went to the, I talked to the local Harley-Davidson, I talked to the factory, I talked to everybody. Why on my FXR was I not getting the shaking? Why at 100, 105 am I picking shaking up? They said, well, we have one less rubber mount, blah, blah. I said, well, why can't it be fixed? They said, because you shouldn't be going that fast. Therefore, we don't have to fix it. They had a frame that they were doing it. They made the newer frame cheaper by one less mount and all that, and their only theory is, the only statement to me was, well, you're not supposed to go in that fast, Mr. Kennedy. We're supposed to keep motorcycles available to a 75, 80 miles an hour. That's the highest maximum speed limit something. I have a motorcycle that shakes
mm-hmm.
over 100, 105. Not radical. I'm not losing control, but I can feel it. And that's the government, and I mean, that's the Harley-Davidson saying, well, you shouldn't be driving that fast. Someday it's going to get us all, guys.
Mm-hmm.
That's true, but also, Bill, I don't have that problem anymore. I added all that.
You did, yeah.
Yeah, I added all that little stuff, so I won't have that problem.
Well, Gary Buell, I mean, he's the one that really came with a good frame and all that, so...
Well, he's actually right now, Bill, he was...
What?
He's going to do his racing team.
Oh, okay.
And Harley's trying to stop him.
I can't possibly consider a Buell because, in fact, I have I'm over 6 foot tall, and the Buell is a short wheel-based motorcycle. I absolutely look ridiculous going down the road because my... knees go higher than the gas tank. It's not. I look in the. I'm a little bit vain, so I look at all the windows. You know, the mirrored windows. So I see myself. Knees higher than the gas tank, and I go.
Okay.
I can't do this.
Were you trying to call my house?
What are you talking? You take private phone calls. I'm on the air here. Look at this here. I'm trying to talk to you people. You take private phone calls. Are you back again? Is that a 1-900 number? I asked you not to take them during the.
I know that.
Wrong.
No, that's actually our next caller.
Bill, that's the worst thing you can look at is yourself when you're going by. I did that with myself. I put a jockey shift on my bike, and I looked at myself jockey shifting, and I said, wow, I'll be riding jockey shift the rest of my life, I guess, now.
40 over Springer, courtesy of Denver, suicide, no front brake, 21-inch. Oh, my whole bike flexed.
Your bike, that sounded like a beauty. Boy, that was my dream. I've been going backwards ever since, you know,
just
from
twice on
my first bike. The last bike was a 79 shovel, and now I'm the only thing I miss is a kickstart. I don't have a kickstart on this one.
I don't miss the kickstart. I got a bad left leg, a bad right ankle, a bad right shoulder. I won't
really?
Go off. It goes a long way, though. I don't bounce as good as I used to, guys.
No, I don't either, Bill. And I've got papers to prove it. But, John, I want to let you know that anytime you want to call in, that would be great.
Oh, sure. I'll keep you guys updated as things go on. I mean, this thing changes here day by day, as Karen knows. I mean, she's on our MRO site, and she knows how much things keep popping up. You know,
fun. Karen knows everything.
Oh, yeah. She's the best. I mean, it's a full-time life just reading all this legislation she finds and everything. I mean, I'm on that dedicate a couple hours a day to keeping up with Karen.
Oh, it's good to know someone's reading it.
Yeah.
It's true.
So,
in fact, what I'd like to do is invite both you guys to send me, and I'll put you on my friends column, if that's okay.
Oh, yeah. Where's that, on Facebook or something?
Oh, it's on my blog.
Oh, on your blog. Okay. I think I got the link. If it was in your email, then I have that. I'm not sure what I all have from you yet.
I'll send you a direct link so you can go there after I put it on.
Okay, good.
If I
right.
joined your friend's column, that would be your first friend you've ever had, wouldn't it?
No, it'd be my second friend, Bill.
Karen, okay, there you go.
BFF, yeah. BBF, BFF, I don't know.
You guys would be welcome to stay on the call. I'm going to bring in another caller right now. This is Baker out of Nashville, Tennessee, and we're gonna talk to him about this charity ride he has going in May.
Okay, yeah, I got to split. I got some things I got to get to, but I really appreciate all your time, your invite, and meeting you guys, and it's a good start of a good friendship. And
I think so.
There
feels
you
good.
Go. There you go. So if you want to stay on, if you want to stay on the line, Karen, that's up. I mean, that would be great. If you have any questions for Baker after we start talking, we'll give you a chance to ask. Okay.
Okay. Well, bye, John.
Bye, Karen. Bye, Bill. Bye, Pete. Or Phil. I mean, and we'll see everybody soon.
It's all right.
No. Okay.
Karen, thanks for all your suggesting you come our show too.
Yes.
Who we got on? Who's out there?
Hey.
Baker, how
it's
you
the
doing?
Phil and Bill show. Hey, what's up, brother? Phil and Bill, what's going on, man?
Good to hear you. Listen, my wife played your CD. She likes some of the songs real nice. She likes your style.
Oh. Cool, brother. I appreciate it. Well, I do appreciate y'all giving a chance to listen.
Hey,
to
I it. Didn't say I liked that. I said my wife did. You have to thank me, brother.
Well, I get it. That's what it was. Here, I don't like this thing. Take it. Give it to your lady.
Also, I didn't tell Bill, but Bill knows that I sent you the shirt, and I didn't tell him about your compliment, so you might want to tell him about the shirt.
Yeah, I was going to get to that, man. That's a killer. I think the sweatshirt, I mean, I love the Bolt shirt also, but the sweatshirt's rocking, man. I mean, that's actually, what a quality shirt. I mean, that thing is so freaking, you know, heavy duty that it made my wash machine go out of balance when I tried to wash it. It's so big, you know, it's
took the price tag off so you didn't see it, but I got to tell you, Screwdown, you've had many of my T-shirts for years.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather sell you a good quality shirt, cheap than anybody in town, because years go by, you can say, well, at least that cheap SOB Bill gave me a good shirt or good sweatshirt. We pay better, a good quality.
Being in, you know, hanging in Southern California since the 70s, I mean, I don't live there permanently, but I've been there, you know, off and on and quite a bit. And what I'm saying is the first time I put that shirt on, I said, this guy, you know, rides a motorcycle, and he knows what kind of clothes you got to wear, you know, to hang out, because that's a great shirt to put on and ride around in and be comfortable.
Well, that's,
I appreciate that.
That's the type of guys we are, two comfortable guys when we ride. We want to make
that's
sure
it.
That we enjoy the ride instead of freezing our cojones off.
Fit's good, you know. The fit's good, and the warmth is right there, and you don't have to be, you know, crammed with a bunch of shit to ride around. You know, you can put that on, and it's, like, not too hot. It's perfect, man. It's perfect.
And, Bill, I didn't tell you, but also, he has a request. We got to send one for...
Yeah, you want me to sing? Is it big?
No.
You want me to send him a CD or something?
No, Bill.
Happy trails to you.
Well, the thing is, man, is I was going to say, I do have that second, because I can't get my girlfriend out of it now, you know, and she's, like, walking around here now in my sweatshirt, and it's like, well, I guess I'll get to wear it again sooner or later.
You got screwdriver
kind of out here. It's kind of a dress for her, man. It kind of just hangs, it hangs low, but not quite low enough, so it's kind of nice, actually.
Bring that in, man. You had to bring that one in. That was good. But no, we're expecting the other order in a week or so, and as soon as we get them, we'll ship you one off for. And that was small, correct?
Yeah, that's what she wanted. Yeah, that'd be great.
We'll have that for you.
Does he want one of my CDs or what?
No, he doesn't want one of his CDs, Bill.
All right.
But the reason he called in, Bill, is he has some news about his charity ride. He picked up a good sponsor.
Who'd you pick up, brother?
Yeah. We got Budweiser here in Nashville sponsoring us, man. It's really cool, really really good thing. They're throwing in a lot of stuff that's saving us a shitload of money, and plus, you know, having those guys behind us and spitting
legitimacy.
Their name all over the place looks good, yeah.
Yeah, corporate sponsorship is the key to everything. I tell so many charity events, at some point, you're going to bottom out with the amount of people you're going to bring in. You have to go to corporate sponsorship. That's where the future is for us bikers.
Yeah, I mean, we couldn't pay for the stuff we need to promote it, and that's the whole thing is, you know, getting these guys picked up to help us with all this promotion is a blessing, and we also got another decent rock station here that is looking at doing some stuff for us, and I think that's going to be in the can pretty soon, and I'll be able to talk about that.
You know, I didn't know, and maybe I got confused. Is Screwdriver supposed to bring out his own trash bags when he picks up the trash? What is he going to do out there?
Man, we're doing, it's all green, you know. Everything you do is like, we don't even throw the stuff away, man. It's like, you know, drink out of the cup and eat it kind of shit, you know. No, man. We'll have
hey,
it
don't hang your mind,
point.
Please. Please.
We have a special jumpsuit for Screwdriver, man. It's a special jumpsuit, you know. It's got, like, you know, it's orange, and it's got, like, you know, something like, you know, L.A., and it's got, like, a thing on the back of it, you know. I think it's one of the ones we got from, you know, the chain gang out there in L.A. for picking up trash on the side of the road.
The side of the road. It'll be a natural.
Yeah, it'll be perfect.
All that love, all that love. But,
Dude went and shot himself last night, I guess it was. Manny's sitting there. Now, that's a story. Did you tell that story tonight, Phil?
Oh, no, I don't want to tell that story, please. I don't want to go through that again.
That was a good one.
Tell us a little bit about your event. What's going on? You got 1 day, 2 day, you got some speakers, you got some musica. What's going on out there for your run, brother? Give us the dates again, the time, location. Tell us everything.
Well, it's Saturday, May the 8th, and the ride is going to be, it's going to last from noon till 8 o'clock, so it's going to be an all-day event, and we got a really cool club. It's kind of indoor, outdoor. A lot of stuff's going to be outside, but the stage and everything's inside. Easily going to, you know, hoping to expect about 1,000 bikes there that day for everything we're doing. We got Geneva's Rock and Ride show. Me and my band are going to play, and a couple other yet-to-be-named people that I'm just waiting for confirmation on that. The ride is setting up to be really cool. We're going to do like a poker run type ride. Coming from, you know, the outskirts of Nashville into a location that's going to be approximately 2 miles from the actual venue. But that final 2 miles of the ride is going to be filmed for Geneva's show, for her Fox Reality show. So that's when we're going to enlist the help of everything we can, traffic control and all that, to have a parade-type route brought in, because it's just going to be too massive to try to do a parade ride, you know, for 50, 60 miles all the way through town coming down to that point. And because we want to get this ride on film for her show and everybody that, you know, participates in raising money for Vanderbilt Trauma Research. And one quick thing about why it's Vanderbilt Trauma Research is because, you know, not only do bikers suffer those traumatic injuries, a lot of other folks do also. And so we chose that charity over, you know, we chose that particular part of the Vanderbilt Hospital. And they're very excited about it. Vanderbilt's all behind it, and they're very excited about it because they haven't actually had anybody ever come in and say, hey, we want to do a ride for Vanderbilt Trauma Research. And they go, really? Nobody's ever done that. So it's like, well, great. That's part of what we're trying to do, something different.
I like that.
I like that.
Are you going to go down for that?
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm. I am going.
You're going to go there Sunday?
No. I'm not sure if
I'm going. I think Vegas said he wanted you there on Sunday.
Yeah, Thursday or Friday.
Phil's welcome to come as early as he wants to, man, because, you know, we'll be having to mow grass here before long, and, you know, there's things that we've got to get done around here, so.
I kept telling him, you got to be there on Sunday. I don't know why you don't pay attention.
That's it. The Sunday before, hell yeah. Hell yeah. No, but heck yeah, man, I really am excited that he's coming, and, you know, I've made that trip many, many times, and I know that it's not that bad, but it does cost money, and we do have hotel specials set up right now. Through the Marriott, which is
Midtown. Campground's good for Screwdriver.
Yeah, man. Well, we got some cool hotel specials at a really nice place. It's right down where after the show we're going to have an after-show party, and in another location. And this hotel is like within walking distance of, you know, a dozen bars, you know, in the Nashville zone. So it's all good, and it's all not going to be too terrible on everybody's budget. And it's all good for anybody that wants to come in from out of town. It'll all be up on the website. BakerSongs.com. There's already information there, but it's going to change in March, and we're going to have all the details posted in advance purchase tickets.
Right, and I want to ask you a question now. There's some other people that were interested in coming, and what would they need to do if they wanted to set something up to make arrangements to have a place to stay?
Well, the best thing to do, I think, is I'm going to post the we definitely have the Marriott on our side, so I'm going to post that hotel on my website, and there'll be a link. They're allowing us a link, and you'll click on their link, and you'll be able to just go right to what's going to be. This is the Rock and Ride show, and folks coming from out of town can click on that link and get that special discounted rate. And then also on my site, if you know, I'll probably offer up a couple other ideas for anybody who wants to possibly stay somewhere else, but basically, where we got them at the Marriott thing, getting a really good rate, is the best place to go because it's within walking distance of anything you'd really want to do in Nashville. As far as where all the locals and where we all hang out, And then the tourist district is a $5 cab ride away if you want to go down on Broadway and hang in the country music scene. So it's all
isn't
good.
There,
you know, it's a good thing.
Isn't there a Bacon Street or something? I was I'm not sure. Somebody mentioned
No,
that.
You might be thinking Memphis.
Okay.
Yeah, down here Broadway is like the country music street where, you know, Broadway, downtown Broadway is where all the Tootsies and all the country clubs are, and then where we're at, we're going to be in what's called Midtown, which is only, like I said, a $5 to $7 cab ride away, but that's where all the folks that live around here and all those type of bars and places where we all go. It's a lot cheaper, and also it's just not covered up with tourists, which everybody appreciates the tourists, but, you know, this is the hang, you know.
You know, Baker, what I like is you're not just doing this for a one-time program. You're setting the formula up now so for future events, and you realize the more successful you are, you can streamline the program, make it grow and grow. And again, as I spoke to so many charity events and all that, at some point in time, you'll end up with all the people you could end up with. But corporate sponsorship, that's the way of the future, guys. I like what you're doing.
Well, that's what we're very thankful to just all we can do is pitch our project and what we're trying to do. And we do expect this and want this to be an annual event. And Nashville really doesn't have, you know, a biker event that brings bikers together. You know, I'm hoping that we can have an opportunity to bring all the clubs and the different hall groups and everybody together for one, you know, event once a year. And it's not about, you know, oh, Joe's having, you know, this, their MC is doing this, we're not going out there, and oh, this hall chapter is doing that, we're not going over there. Let's have one time where we can all get together for something really cool. And it's not about who's riding the baddest motorcycle because this guy's a lawyer and this guy's a mechanic. It's about, you know, everybody getting together and do it.
Yeah, I like what you're saying because Screwdriver and I say over and over, the message is more important than the messengers. I like what you're saying, buddy.
That's right, because, like we're going to have a paralyzed vet run on the 11th of April.
In
the VA hospital. And then next weekend we're going to have the, the middle of the week it pulls in, and then it's going to be the mini Vietnam Wall.
Oh, the big one.
The big one.
The big one.
And we had some issues with that about having to run to that wall.
Politics
got in the way, and they took away a good run.
Now, Philip, I noticed that you had your pickup truck full of cans and all that. Are you going to take the Greyhound bus back there, or are you going to cash those cans in and get a Greyhound round trip, or what?
No, Bill. I'm flying on a plane, Bill.
All right.
Hey, what happened with that, bro? Did you guys lose that Vietnam wall run over the politics, or is that happening still, or what?
We lost it over to politics.
No, the Vietnam run is going on. There's no problem with that whatsoever. There was a political movement that wanted to be gone at the same time, and the vets all said that they're too emotional at that time, and they'd rather it just be a veterans wall only.
Right.
So I can tell you more details and all that, but decisions had to be made, and there was right and wrong on both sides. But the bottom line was the Vietnam Wall, as far as the local veterans go and all that, they wanted nothing but the veterans there. No other political statement, no other freedom statement, no nothing. They felt their people were a bit unstable. So we mediated between everybody, and we did the best we could.
Yeah,
the run's going, but no political.
Right,
no politics.
We came to a mutual agreement.
On the wall. I'll be speaking up there for a while. I got to tell you, if you haven't been there, I'll speak, Baker, at the opening of a phone booth. I'm so happy to speak. But when you're up there in front of the wall, you've got the wall behind you. And I want you guys to picture this in your head. I don't know how many thousands of names are on the wall. That wall is behind me. I'm on the podium. I'm speaking to all the people in front of me. And I swear to you, I don't care how big the crowd is. But when I'm up there on the podium, and the wall is behind me, the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. It's a very emotional, very uncomfortable time for me to speak, as it is for many speakers I know. Again, I'll speak anywhere. But if you haven't been to the wall, you people, try to find one in your local area. It's quite impressive. And also, I want to say quickly, we talk about the Korean vets, the World War II vets. We talk about those guys and young men and women overseas right now in the sandbox. We acknowledge all wars. My program in getting the walls in here is I want you to bring your children, your grandchildren in. I want them to see that the Vietnam War and all wars are not just a page in a history book. It is part of our American history. And if your grandfather, your uncle was in the Vietnam Wall, I tell them, you know, bring your children up there so you can point on the wall These are guys I served with. These are guys that laid their life down so we could have our American freedoms, our American rights, so people like you could do a good event, Baker.
Well, Tisha, you know, I appreciate that, brother. Thank you so much. And I tell you that you're right on with all that. And I hope that the politics of all that stuff somehow eventually irons itself out and everybody realizes that one war really is all wars, and it's not about someone getting too much or not enough recognition in some areas. So, I respect what you do, and you know, I have not been to the Vietnam Wall, and one day, you know, I hope to get up the East Coast and do that.
It's like I told Bill in the big beginning, Baker, when you and I first became acquainted. I said, this guy's a class act. And after we talked the last time and then to this time, that's why one of the reasons I called you tonight, because you are a class act, and I give you praise, brother.
Well, thanks, Phil. I really appreciate it, brother. And I feel the same towards you, and I can't wait till you get here and we get to meet. And, of course, you're welcome to speak at our event. And, Bill, if you make it over here, you're welcome to speak at the event. So,
thank you. Phil, I'll tell you, sometimes I go off like a Baptist minister. I got my feelings on things, and I love to speak. But you do get a chance to go to the wall, the moving wall, the traveling wall. Anybody listen to our voice, man, it's emotional. To me, if anything should be a source of let's end all the wars, that's it. And Screwdriver and I are military. We're pro-military. We're ex-vets and all that, but well, you see the list of all those names of all those young men and women that have died, and you're thinking, man, where's the reality?
Well,
as Americans, we have responsibility. We have to face that responsibility. That's what I feel
true.
About that.
That's
all
true.
Right, I'm off the soapbox.
That's true.
I hear you. Well, speaking of baptized, I guess if I ever get there, I hope it's in synthetic oil, because I do appreciate that much of technology.
And like I said, I wanted to thank you for calling in and you are a class act, man, and I appreciate the invite, and I'll see you there.
All right, man, I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me on again, guys, and, you know, I'm out here, so anything
yeah,
you ever need,
feel free
call
anytime
me.
You get an up.
We need to get some more plugs for your event, okay, Baker?
Absolutely.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much, and thanks again for the shirts. Like I said, the baddest ass sweatshirt I've ever had in my life. I you know, not only what's written on it, but just the way it fits and works, man, it's great, and I really appreciate it.
All right, Amigo.
You're welcome.
You do the best you can out there. We'll do the best we can out here.
All right, man. We'll suck up that warm weather out there for me, man. I can't wait to get back to the California coast and hook up on y'all's turf, man. I can't wait to do that, so I'll be seeing you.
I'm actually working on my tan on the flight deck daily.
And I wore my Levi jacket to work because it's a little bit cold.
Yep. Well, it's coming. You guys are right there in it, man. I'll tell you, I'll trade you places any day. The snow just finally melted here after about a month and a half of it sitting on the ground. So well, I got just a couple spots in the yard where the sun didn't get between the trees, and that's finally, I think tomorrow it's supposed to be about 45, so it should be gone.
Oh. Sorry, brother.
Move!
That's cold weather riding. Now you know why I appreciate that sweatshirt.
There you go. There you go. And I'm glad we could help you out with that.
That's why I'm a windshield rider.
Absolutely. And,
all right. Thanks, fellas. I really appreciate everything, man. And y'all have a great night. And I will catch up with you soon.
All right, Amigo.
You too. Bye-bye.
Nice guy.
Nice guy.
You know, it goes back to, again, we got people like Karen back there doing her little thing. We got Baker.
Are you still there, Karen?
Yeah, I'm still here.
You're going to enjoy the closing song. It's by a guy named Biker.
You want
Joe.
Me to sing?
No, I don't want you to sing, Bill.
Karen, do you want any of my CDs? I can send them out to you.
You can send me one.
I'm sorry. I don't have any CDs. I'm sorry.
You can,
everybody
you
says
have a
I don't have anything. I can't
you
sing
have your
all.
Happy trails?
I like that. I'm going to say this right now quickly, and I mean, I have sang on stage with ZZ Top. I have sang on stage with the Doobie Brothers. Large audiences, and they've all said to me, Bill, you belong up front as the MC. You cannot carry a tune. Going up, my voice cracks going down.
Right,
so
right now.
When I do sing with everybody, I have to sing the refrain. Just sit in the back, Bill, hit the tambourine, hit the refrain, get up front with the mic, announce our act, and then please get off the air. That's sad. That's sad.
That is sad. That's a sad moment.
We're gonna wrap this up, and I'll give you a call over the weekend. I got something I saw today, and I want to talk to you about it, but we won't have time to do it right now. If that's okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
And then, like I said, this song we're going to close with is by a man named Biker Joe Warren. He happened to die, but it's a very good song, and I dedicate this one to the ATF. When you hear it, you'll enjoy this one.
Karen, you understand there's two of us. There's Phil style and my style. This song is Phil style.
Okay.
But I hope you appreciate it.
So, like I said, thank you for calling and people listening and in the chat room. It was great talking to everybody. And I'm going to play this right now, and we'll see you guys next week.
Close your ears, Karen. Virgin ears. We don't want them to be offended.
In the grocery store, all the kids look at me like they thought I was Santa Claus. And their mamas don't like it, so they turn the shopping carts around. Mama shoots me a dirty look. She thinks I'm just a greasy rebel without a cause. But it's fear that mostly makes them people put us down. But I like to ride big motorcycles, and I like to eat pussy too. I like to kick the shit out of punkers and faggots, and if you don't like it, fuck you. That's right. I like to ride big motorcycles, and I like to eat pussy too. And I like to kick the shit out of punkers and faggots, and if you don't like it, fuck you. In the restaurant, the maitre d' gets nervous cause I ain't got on a tie. But who'd ever thought a hairy ass biker would drink French wine? I just finish off the steak and I have a glass of brandy and a slice of apple pie. Then I leave the biggest tip that the waiter's seen all night. Still, I like to ride big motorcycles, and I like to eat pussy too. And I like to kick the shit out of punkers and faggots, and if you don't like it, fuck you. Bother me none if the public thinks we're the scourge of society. I know a lot of little poor kids that don't see things your way. Cause on Christmas Day, they got a full belly and a teddy bear under the tree. They know Santa wears leather and he rides a two-wheel sleigh. Still, I like to ride big motorcycles, and I love the little children's too. Your opinion of me don't amount to shit if you don't like it. Fuck you. You heard me. That's right. I like to ride big motorcycles, and I like to eat pussy too. Sing. And I like to kick the shit out of punkers and faggots, and if you don't like it. Alright, y'all sing along this time now. And I like to ride big motorcycles, and I like to eat pussy too. I like to empty my 44 and Boy George, and if he don't like it, fuck him too.
Hey, I'm sure Boy George will appreciate that one.
Karen, you still there?
Yeah. Interesting.
Karen, that's from his side of the family, not mine.
Yeah, I got some more of those. We just thought we'd close it out with a good one.
Oh yeah. Well,
yeah.
Any intelligent audience we had, Karen staying on.
People bailing out.
I'll stay to help them. Everybody else is gone.
It wasn't a bad song.
Oh yeah.
It wasn't a bad song.
See?
Karen, you're fibbing. Karen, I know you're a lady.
We'll let Bill pick the next song next week.
Oh no, I can't deal with Roy Rogers. I'm sorry. Well, we're down to about 13 seconds, and 10 seconds, and I'll give you a buzz over the weekend.
Okay. Yes.
All right. Have a good night.
Good night, Karen.
Good night, guys.
Bye-bye. Bye.